How many of you have your Bibles? Hold them up. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, just desiring once again to encounter the Word of God. God, we know that the Word is alive, and the Word, when encountered with an open heart and open mind, can change us. God, it doesn't change us. It doesn't change our behavior. It changes our belief. And when our belief is changed, our behavior will follow. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for what we're about to do as we encounter this Word once again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, today I'm going to start a new message series called Pathway to Victory. It's actually a study through the book of Romans. I love the book of Romans, some great insight in the book of Romans that I believe that we can learn and grow from. I believe this summer for us at New Beginnings is going to be a time of growth and a time of spiritual renewal. And hopefully we're going to all grow great through the summer because of the book of Romans. If I ask every one of us this morning, how many of you want to win in life? How many of you would raise your hands? Do you want to win in life, anybody? If you don't want to win in life, just keep your hand down. And we'll take your blessing too. The problem lies in the fact that we all have our own ideas on how to win based on several different factors. Kind of where we grew up, how we grew up, what our mother or father did for a living, what you witnessed from your parents and the other role models in your life about success, the marriages that you saw and witnessed, the role models' use and attitude about and towards money, their work ethic, and that list would go on and on. And so all those things shape how we deem or view what success is and what it's not, right? Starting today and carrying us through much of the summer, I'm going to preach through the book of Romans. And the reason I chose the book of Romans is because the book of Romans is where we get our word for the year from Romans 8, right? We're going to be more than conquerors this year. Why? Because God has called us more than conquerors. And the pathway to victory is going to be found in a life that conquers. And people, if you want to start winning in life, start conquering some things. Start conquering your marriages. Start conquering your job. Start conquering your career. Start conquering your kids. Start conquering your financial life. And as you begin to conquer those things, you'll find yourself winning more and more. Amen? I want you to win with Jesus. I want you to win with yourself. I want you to win in your family, your marriage, your parenting. I want you to win in your career. I want you to win socially and financially and emotionally, and I want you to win physically. And the letter to the Romans gives us some clear insight as to how we might start winning with Jesus. Today I'm going to talk to you about the big problem, the thing that stands in our way most when it comes to trying to win. Next week I'm going to talk about the big solution. The week after that, on June 16th, I'm going to talk to you about the sanctified life. I'll explain it then. June 23rd, I'm going to talk to you about the struggle is real. On June the 30th, the spirit life. What does that look like? And then on July the 7th, the secure life, what it means to live a life secure. Should be a fun, informative, and growing summer at New Beginnings. I've studied the Bible both formally in seminary and informally for myself, and I've discovered that the greatest hindrance to mankind winning with God is themselves. How many of you know that? You're your greatest enemy. You are the greatest problem in winning with God. Look in the mirror. I should have brought mirrors. Everybody hold up your mirror. The Bible tells us that when we know the good we ought to do and we don't do it, we sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. You see, sin is anything that goes against God's way, God's will, and God's word. When we know the good we ought to do and we don't do it, you know you heard that voice. When God said, I want you to do this, and you were like, I ain't doing that. I'm going my way because I think I know better, you know? Somebody identifying with that this morning? We often, many times we think of sin as a more basic or a particular thing or things that we do or an attitude that we have. Sometimes we even form a theology around a certain sin. And we'll say that man, that sin's going to send you to hell. By the way, you can say that in church. You know, the only thing, listen, I want you to, everybody look right here. The only thing that sends a man or a woman to hell is a life void of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. Have a relationship with Jesus and you're going to heaven. Don't have a relationship with Jesus and you know where you'll be going. This morning, I'm going to make the line very narrow. You know, in the world, they say, oh, there are lots of ways to heaven. You just be a good person. Lots of good people. I know, I've known lots of good people. People give you the old saying, he give you the shirt off his back. But he doesn't know Jesus, and that nice guy would go straight to hell. Just doesn't sound fair, right? But Jesus provided the way for every one of us, and all we have to do is accept his free gift. The Bible tells us that unless a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? Let me make it simple. We accept the free gift that Jesus provided. Yes, Jesus, I want what you're giving away. I want that. And until you confess that and have that, you don't have that. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We look to Jesus. And we want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven, and all we have to do is accept him and his free gift, and we're going, right? Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Turn, if you would, to Romans. You can, as a matter of fact, over the next 6 weeks, whatever it is, you can just put a bookmark in the book of Romans, and we'll be hanging out up in there. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." The word gospel in the Greek in the original language is the Greek word euangelion. This is what it means, the good message or good news. This is what he said about the good message or good news. He said the good message or good news is the power of God. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's the miracle working power. It's the ability, the abundance. It's the meaning and the might. It's the miracle working power of God at work to do what? To save us, to bring salvation to everyone who believes. The word salvation is the Greek word soteria, and it means to rescue or bring to safety, to deliver. Here's the good news, is that by God's mighty miracle-working power, you have been rescued and delivered to safety so that you can win in life. That's the good news. But delivered from what? From the infection called sin. We all have it. If you're born human being, and you all are, by the way, just so you know, you were all born into the sin of Adam. And because of the sin of Adam and Eve, you can thank them when you get to heaven. And you guys ruined it for us all. You ate the fruit and could have had a great life here in the garden, and you messed it up. What is that noise? You hear that? I think it's the air conditioner blowing in my microphone. Man, that is crazy, huh? It's not God, I promise you. Could be. Be on your guard. You never know. I've heard people use the reasoning that they should go to heaven because they're good people. I talked about that a moment ago. And I just want to say, you know, there are a lot of good people, but being good won't permit you into heaven. And besides, being good compared to who? See, what the reason people love the comparative analysis is because all I have to do is find somebody who's less good than me. Not very hard to do in the world we live in, right? And if that were the case, if I just had to find someone who was less good than me to qualify to go to heaven, then I would have been in a long time ago because I wasn't really bad. Maybe I only committed maybe 8 of the 10, right? 8.5, something. Anyway, you get it. But we just want to compare ourselves to somebody else. It's like being in the woods with somebody else. Like me, imagine me and Corey being in the woods and we encounter a bear. Now, in order for me to be saved from the bear, I only have to be as faster than Corey. Maybe I ought to pick somebody else. Maybe I'm faster than Chelsea. Because Corey will probably beat me and then I'm going to be bear bait. See, but it doesn't work like that in the spiritual. You can't just be faster than somebody else or better than somebody else to get there. Because the only comparison that we should ever make is to that of Jesus Christ. Because he was the only human being who walked this earth without sin. Had the same temptations as you and I. Dealt with the same things that you and I deal with on a daily basis. And yet was without sin. The only one. And so the only comparison that we can make is to that of Jesus and him alone. You know, we have this misconception that sinning makes us a sinner. Sinning doesn't make you a sinner. You're a sinner, therefore you sin. You see, how many times have you gotten sick and you didn't know where you contracted the sickness from? I got this cold. I don't know where I got it from. Must have been that kid or must have been in that room when I was with those people. I'm not sure where it came from. Well, it's like that with sin. I didn't even do anything wrong because you were born with it. You were born with it because of the sin of Adam, you see? And because of the sin of Adam, you had no choice. And the only way to get rid of it is to accept Jesus Christ, right? Sin has four characteristics that you need to be aware of this morning. And it's always these things. Always. Sin is always these things. This is not like sin is sometimes these things, sometimes not. Sin is always these things. Listen to them. Sin is always, first and foremost, self-sufficient. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity and the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator." That's self-sufficiency. When we'd rather worship the creation rather than the Creator. The problem is we like the creation better because I can see it, touch it, feel it, smell it. I can have pleasure in creation, but in the unknown, it's hard to see and it's hard to experience. And so because of that, we'd rather forego God and worship his creation instead. I don't know about you, but when I look at human life, I cannot look at human life and think, wow, how did that happen? And for someone to think that this just happened, this perfection doesn't just happen. Let's be real, right? I meant the human being. I'm not sorry. This doesn't just happen. When I see a human being and I see the intricate workings of the human body, I have to think, who created that? Because that didn't just happen accidentally, right? When I look at places like the Grand Canyon or beautiful sunsets or rivers or lakes or birds, I think, wow, creator. I think intelligent designer. I don't think, to believe that we happened some other way is like believing that I can go by a junkyard, throw in a bomb, and out comes a 747. Impossible, right? I mean, dude, what are the chances of that happening? Just look at the human body. And so how can we forego the creator and worship the creation? We cannot let our knowledge or intelligence rob us of knowing the God that created us. Don't let your knowledge and intelligence rob you of having an intimate relationship with him either. Creation wasn't created for you to worship, but to simply enjoy and give reverence to God because of it, right? Creation is the evidence of a creator. but sin's focus will always be on what can be seen instead of what is unseen. Self-focused people are only interested in which will benefit them the most. The God-focused people are always focused on seeing the fingerprint of God in all that they do or are a part of. Listen, the opposite of self-sufficiency is God's sufficiency or faith. When we decide I'm no longer going to be self-sufficient, I'm going to be God-sufficient, that means I'm now responding to God in faith. And as we know at New Beginnings, nothing pleases God more than a life of faith. Sin believes that self is sufficient enough, and faith means that I'm fully relying on Jesus. The second thing that sin is always, it's itself righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says this, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands God. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those of us who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of our sin. And in verse 23 of Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one, based on the ability to be good. All of our attempts at getting it right with God on our own will amount to nothing. You can give all you own to the poor. You can help old ladies cross the street. You can cut your neighbor's lawn, carry groceries to the car for people all day long today at Walmart's exit door. And at the end of the day, God will say, your righteousness is as filthy rags before me. It means and amounts to nothing. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 says this. The death he died, Jesus he's talking about, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Listen, sin doesn't care who you are. None of us can claim to be without it, and therefore we're all under God's wrath because of it. There is no such thing as self-righteousness. You can't make yourself righteous by doing good things. And isn't that a shame? You can do good things till the cows come home. You can do good things until the day you die, and it will not ever be enough. The only thing that will make a man or a woman right before God is sacrifice, and there's only one sacrifice that's worthy to make you right. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen? The opposite of self-righteous is humility, humbling yourself before Jesus. Humility is the place where you relinquish control and you give it to God. The third thing that sin is it's self-seeking. So you notice all of these are wrapped up in self because we're our biggest problem. Romans 3:10, as we read it a moment ago, says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God because we're all seeking self. If we're not God seekers, then we're self-seekers. And if we're self-seekers, we're only interested in self. What's in it for me? In this life, we're either seeking God or we're seeking self. There is only one throne and only one can sit on it. And it will either be you or it will be Jesus, but you both can't sit there together. He'll get out of the way and let you sit on it. But then you get to be the king and you get to decide how it goes and you get only what you can provide. Or you can let Jesus sit on it and you get everything he has designed for you. Amen? The opposite of self-seeking is benevolence. That means you begin to give yourself away, both to God and to others. The fourth thing that sin always is self-willed. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 says this. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. Y'all fall in any of them categories? They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Self-willed people is knowing the good you ought to do and deciding to do the opposite. When we know the good we ought to do and we choose to live a different life, we live in sin. Self-willed instead of submissive to God. The opposite of self-willed is submissive. It's saying, God, I'll let you be in control. I'll submit myself to you and to your will and to your way and to your word, and I'll do it your way and your way only. Being submissive in nature means there's always room in my plans for God's plans. I'm always willing to change what I believe to match what he says is the truth. And I can't do it any other way because I don't have the final answer, and neither do you, but Jesus does. Your plans will always result in whatever you can produce, and God's will always result in the destiny that he has designed for you. And the only way to get there is through a surrendered life. Sin is always self-sufficient, self-righteous, self-seeking, and self-willed. And the root of all these things is pride. Do you know that the middle letter of the word pride is I? And the middle letter of the word sin is I. Because pride and sin are rooted in self. And the only way to break sin's grasp is to submit yourself to God's way, God's will, and God's word. Just Jesus is looking for men and women that will be God sufficient, full of faith. They'll be humble and benevolent and submissive. My question to you today is, will you submit yourself to God's way, God's will, and God's word? Would you stand with me? Will you trade the you for him? Today is the day that we relinquish control from self to Jesus. Today's destiny day, the day that you start walking towards the destiny that he has planned for your life. If you are ready to surrender your life, say, I'm tired of being the one in control. I'm tired of self-directing my life. I want you to come and join me. I want you to just say, this is it. I'm done. I'm done trying to do it my way. I want you to come and join me down front. Come on. Where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. But I want you to know Jesus's ways are better. They're always going to be better because he's the smartest person in the room. And when we acknowledge that, when we surrender and we say, God, I can't do it my way anymore. I've tried that. And I'm always running into dead ends. And let's just lift our hands to heaven this morning. That sign of surrender. Here we are, Jesus. Fully surrendered to your way, your will, and your word. God, no longer trying to do it our way. God, no matter how much we're in the way, God, today we're getting out of the way. We say, come and take the throne in of our lives today. Come and lead us, guide us, speak to us, Father. Download into each one of us the plans and purposes that you have for us. And God, as submissive children, we will walk according to your way. We've tried it our way. It's not getting us anywhere. Asking you to take control fill us with your power and your presence so that we can accomplish what you've called us to accomplish, so that we can go and do the things that you're calling us to go and do. However difficult they may seem or be, God, we know that if you call us to it, you'll see us through it. So here we are today, surrendered completely to you, no longer being in the way, ready to win in life, in every area of our lives, Father. Here we are, surrendered completely. We give it all to you today. Now go with us as we go. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.